What a song. Singing about test tubes and marching bands and athletes. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we take it totally for granted. The grocery store. You don't have to pluck chickens. No, you can go down to Hy-Vee and you can get fresh or frozen chicken breast anytime you want. You don't have to grow your own onions, although the Banker's homegrown onions are very good. It can also be an overwhelming experience at the grocery store. The cereal aisle, that is a war zone battling for your attention. And the butter aisle, well, it's not much better. Kara always laughs because I spend way too long comparing butter in the butter aisle. One of the brands, with its very name, makes a promise. The butter supposedly combines good taste with good health, and it's given the name Promise, Promise Margarine. The name Promise speaks of commitment, determination to deliver what's advertised. That same word, promise, is central to our text as well. Again, it says something about dependability, about a guarantee, about something you can depend on. Peter says to the Pentecost crowd, "The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself, you, your children, and all who are far off. The promise is for all." Peter said to those who called Abraham their father, "The promise is for you." If there was any doubt in their minds after the events of Easter about the identity of Jesus, Peter cleared the air once and for all, and the coming of the Holy Spirit that day testified to the truth of his message. The one for whose blood they had screamed, the one they taunted and jeered and tormented, and yes, the one they put to death, was the Christ, the Messiah of God. He was one that their fathers had longed to see, and now that he had come on the scene, they put him to death. Oh, how much like us are they. Oh, hear us singing our welcome to the Messiah in the form of Christmas carols. Oh, come, Emmanuel. But note how long our welcome lasts, how quickly our song fades. We hardly turn from the beauty of the Christmas tree before Lent is upon us and we sense our sinfulness and we weep bitterly with Peter. And then, so quickly, it's Pentecost. And Peter says, "This Jesus you crucified." Where has the last 6 months gone? Vicar, where has the last 6 months gone? A discussion we have quite regularly. And you know, the Jews were not alone in putting him to death. For our sins, as well as theirs, made that long, agonizing walk to the cross a necessity for him. And yet with the Jews on Pentecost Day, we hear the unbelievable news. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you. The promise is also for our children. Peter says, "For the promise is for you and for your children." Despite all the things that we can give our children, this is one that we ourselves are incapable of providing. We cannot give salvation. Even Walmart, or better yet, Amazon, does not have it. Like us, Our children are far from the Lord at birth, covered with the sin that blankets all mankind. But their souls are precious to the Lord, and in His love, He bathes them with forgiveness at the baptismal font. Baptism, what seems like a simplistic, symbolic act to so many, is in fact the forgiveness of sins to our children. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children. The Spirit of God creates saving faith in their hearts, and we trust the promise of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. What joy to know that those we love as only parents can love will be saved through all eternity. But the promise extends even beyond them, says Peter. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. Comprehend this if you can. God freely offers redemption to all mankind. There is no limit to His love, His forgiveness, His mercy. He doesn't look forward to a few favorites with Him in paradise. David, Abraham, Moses, Peter, James, John. No, He desires all to be saved. He invites them to enjoy the fruits of redemption through the message of the gospel, full and free forgiveness in Christ. That message of the gospel was published at His birth as the angels sang to the shepherds in the midst of that dark and quiet Judean night. It was given to mankind to share. And the shepherds, they couldn't keep the news to themselves. With exceedingly great joy, they ran to tell. The disciples, after His death and resurrection and ascension, said that they had to witness to what they had seen and heard. And our Lutheran forefathers, in their turn, brought the message to this country when our nation was still young, and today the responsibility is passed on to us. And the Lord has given me the privilege and the responsibility of reminding the members of this congregation of the importance of personal witnessing in this age of the church. It relates back to my opening illustration, doesn't it? People today hear promises of advertisers until their ears ache and become dull. Every new product carries an individual promise. This car will make you feel like a real man. This perfume will make you feel like a real woman. This course will qualify you for the career of your dreams. This kitchen gadget, it'll make you cook like the Iron Chef. All empty promises. Even promise margarine may have its deficiencies. But the promise of the Father of all ages, the promise delivered to our forefathers, the promise that was fulfilled in Christ, the promise attested to by the Spirit, the promise attached to the gospel and in baptism, the promise that never disappoints. We are privileged to believe it, but we're also privileged to share it. Understand then that the promise of Acts 2, intended for just the ancient Jews who heard Peter on that day, that promise is for us too, and for our children. And it extends out to all who hear the invitation of God in the gospel. So my challenge to you, be a missionary. Do what the signs say, for when you leave our property, you are going out into the mission field. Share what you have, the eternal promise of God. Share it wherever you can. It's your responsibility and mine. It's also our joy. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.